So, good afternoon, baby. We are just waiting for a third member so we can show. Oh, look at that. If you say it, it happens. What, to start as a subcommittee?
We can start as a
subcommittee. Oh, to start as a subcommittee. And we're also waiting for, although Sarah Nielsen is going to present. Yeah. So we now have three, and we will start this hearing of the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs as a subcommittee. And we are waiting for we have the proxy on it, but not the bill. So we'll hang out for a few minutes. All right, so afternoon, Senator Nielsen, and on behalf of Senator Morrell, you are going to present SB 924.
My apologies, I didn't go to the office, and that's where the bill information was. This bill provides a tax benefit to the service members, California. It would exempt all income received by a National Guard member from a state income tax when that income is derived from an emergency state of active duty status. These are temporary assignments, but it does inconvenience the lives of our service folks who are serving in the Guard. They serve at the command of the governor, and these are emergency situations. We know how important they are. They do that during that period or have been fully taxed, and we would argue that that would be an opportunity for us to help and, in fact, recruit more to serve in the National Guard. This is to reward and empower their sacrifice. Well, what I would argue here is you have to have a love of service to do the National Guard duty. It takes you away from family, a lot of weekends, some weeks, and on assignments for periods of time. And I think it's the least that we could now do to exempt them during those short periods of time. George and I vote.
Okay. And your witnesses, please.
Okay, good afternoon, Chair and members. My name is Jim Luby from the National Guard Association of California. National Guard members are dedicated public servants that perform provide essential duties for the state, and recently provided the state with assistance firefighting and massive landslides, rain just this year. Currently, the National Guard members do not receive any tax relief for income earned while serving during a state emergency. SB 924 would change this by exempting all income received by National Guard members for state income tax when that income is derived from emergency state active duty, ESAD status. California National Guard falls under the umbrella of the active militia according to Section 120 of the Military and Veterans Code. The National Guard is called into service under three distinct statuses. One is emergency state active duty, one is Title 32, and another is Title 10.
When called Mr. Luby, if you wouldn't mind, I just want to establish a quorum. So,
yes, sir.
If you would mind calling the roll.
Yes, sir. Newman?
Here.
Nielsen?
Here.
Dodd? Hueso? Wynn? Roth?
Here.
Wilk?
Present.
Thank you.
Thank you. A quorum is established. Please go ahead.
Okay. When called into service on ESAD status, the active militia in the National Guard serves at the command of the governor of the state of California. They're paid by the state, and their missions include state emergencies such as wildfire, floods, earthquakes, and other natural disasters. Under Title 32 status, the National Guard is under the governor's command but paid by the federal government for missions including training and other federally authorized duties. Under Title 10, the National Guard is also on federal payroll for duties performed, primarily related to the overseas deployments. When activated on ESAD, National Guard members respond to the most dire situations when existing emergency response resources are insufficient to get the job done. They are called away from their day jobs and their stable sources of income to place their lives in immediate danger for the good of the state. So SB 294 is a step in the right direction toward empowering and rewarding their fortune in a simple way.
Thank you, sir. It's worth noting that there's support on both sides. Mr. Reeb.
Thank you, Senator and members. My name is Seth Reeb with Reeb Government Relations on behalf of AMVET's Department of California and the California State Commanders Veterans Council, who are in support of this legislation. And just like to echo the Senator's comments that this would be a good benefit for retention and recruitment of the National Guard.
I appreciate that. Any witnesses here in support of the bill? Please come forward. If you could state your name and your position, that would be helpful.
Colonel Lorna Grease, representing Military Officers Association, California Council of Chapters. We support this bill.
Thank you, Colonel Grease.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is Don Harper. I'm the chair of the Legislation Commission for the American Legion for the state of California. And we are in support of this bill. Please vote aye on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harper.
Good afternoon, Senators. I'm Dean Gotham. I'm the first vice president for the California State Council of Vietnam Veterans of America, and we strongly support this bill. Long overdue. Thank you all.
Thank you, sir. Any witnesses in opposition to the bill?
Move the bill.
I have a motion to move the bill. Would you like to close?
Mr. Chairman, you know, over the decades of representing 19 different counties, I've had great occasion to deal with these emergency situations where our Guard has been deployed. In fact, it was somewhat tongue-in-cheek. General Thrasher and I were in a plane flying up the Sacramento River in 1986 with the floods, and I said, you know, in the winter, you and I spend more time with each other than with our families, with the floods. And in the summer, you and I spend more time together than with our families on the fires. Now, that's not literally true, and I don't want to mean to imply that these guardsmen are so much off after duty that there's going to be a huge tax burden to the state of losing these funds to give exempt from the taxes. I do mean to emphasize how important the guardsmen are to the safety of our public and why we ought to reward them just a little bit.
And thank you, Senator Nielsen. So, Madam Secretary, if you please call the roll.
Senate Bill 924 do pass, but first we refer to appropriations. Newman?
Aye.
Newman, aye. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Dodd? Weso? Wynn? Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. So that's 4-0. But
that's 4-0. We will hold that open. Thank you, sir.
Back to you, Mr. Chairman and members.
We have not
done that motion. Are you suggesting we do it, or are you asking if we've done it?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Do you want to make that motion? Senator Roth has made a motion to approve the consent calendar. Madam Secretary, if you could please read.
Yes, sir. Senate Bill 1435 do pass, but first we refer to appropriations with recommendation to consent. And Senate Bill 1501 do pass with recommendation to consent. Newman?
Aye.
Newman, aye. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Dodd? Weso? Wynn? Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
That's 4-0. We will hold that open. Any other authors present? No.
Yes.
How exciting. Senator Nielsen, if you could take that gavel in case it gets heated.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, you've got several before us today. It would be 10:43, the first one you take up, or whatever you choose. What order?
Yes, sir. Let's do it in order, agenda order. That's terrific. Mr. Chair, Senators, SB 1043 will continuously appropriate the sum of $7 million to counties to fund the activities of California's county veteran service officers, who play a critical role in connecting California's veterans with the benefits they have earned through their service. This bill would additionally require the California Department of Veterans Affairs to develop an allocation formula based upon performance standards and would require future funding to be allocated in accordance with that formula. California's County Veteran Service Officers, or CVSOs as they are known, are the initial local point of contact for veterans filing for benefits with the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. SB 608, passed in 1997, required CalVet to annually report the amount of monetary benefits paid to veterans by the federal government that are attributable to the referral efforts of CVSOs. On the basis of this annual reporting, as of the end of 2016, it had been determined that from 1995 through 2016, as a result of the $58.2 million budgeted by the state over that span for its share of CVSO funding, local veterans had been awarded over $5.4 billion worth of federal awards and services. This represents a return of approximately $93 for every dollar allocated to CVSOs. Further, CVSOs often save the state additional monies by qualifying and shifting veterans away from Medi-Cal and into the appropriate federal veterans programs for which they are eligible. California CVSOs have accomplished all of this without ever reaching the statutorily allowable state budget allocation of $11 million for CVSO funding set in 2009. To date, CVSOs have not been budgeted more than $5.6 million per year from the state, even as the work they do while chronically understaffed provides such substantial benefits. Given their current workloads and the intensifying needs of two concurrent generations of veterans, California's aging cohort of Vietnam-era vets with their specialized issues and needs on the one hand, and the younger cohort of veterans of the two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan with theirs, it is highly appropriate, indeed cost-effective, and a good investment to increase the current level for California's hardworking and invaluable CVSOs. SB 1043 would rightly do just that. I respectfully ask for your aye vote. With us today to testify is Seth Reeb with the California Association of County Veteran Service Officers and a CVSO himself. Go ahead, Mr. Reeb.
Good afternoon. My name is Seth Reeb with Reeb Government Relations. SB 1043's main goal is veterans outreach. There's a significant portion of veteran population that do not know that they are eligible for federal benefits. Many of these veterans are homeless, unemployed, underemployed, or suffering from mental illness or physical impairment. Last fiscal year, California Veteran Service veterans received over $436 million in new federal benefits as a result of claims assistance provided by the CVSOs. As an example, I'm a disabled veteran. I didn't find out until last year about County Veteran Service Officers. Ted, who's sitting right here, helped me with the claim, and last week was actually just approved for an increase in disability that I didn't know that I didn't have the proper help. Filing my initial first claim when I got out of the military in 2009.
Now you're helping others, just like Ted helped you, right?
Trying to, sir.
Ted. Thank you, Mr. Reed. So a more proper introduction, Ted Fontillo, who is the local county veteran service officer for this area.
Thank you, Senator. I'm a CVSO in Solano County, and I represent the County Association of Veteran Service Officers for the state. I'm the ledge chair, past president. And we have about 253 members in the state, and we help the 1.8 million veterans in this state get their benefits. As we all know, the VA is not a user-friendly organization, and the rules are changing daily. Every day we have a new secretary, we have a new district officer, it just changed, you know, every day. And there's the only constant is change with the VA. They train us, we work with Keith and CalVet. We get trained 3 weeks out of the year. We have a constant communication with CalVet on anything that comes up. We have an email network that no other organization has when it comes to VA rules and regulations. Last year, we filed close to 200,000 claims. These are claims that generate revenue. Last year, the state got $7.4 billion in revenue tax-free into the pockets of veterans from the federal government. That's a pretty big economic stimulus right there. In my county alone, we got $214 million into the pockets of our veterans. Our Board of Supervisors really likes that. That's a major economic boon for our county. To do this, we need trained, professional people who will stay there. A lot of vet reps, they come and go with the county. It's a good job. They're trained well. And CalVet audits us every 6 months. They make sure we're doing things right. and that's important when you're dealing with the VA. The collaboration we have with CalVet has never been better than it is now, and we really thank them for that. This $1.7 million increase, I think it's $1.4 million, would get us about 17 new vet reps. We have large counties like San Diego, LA, San Bernardino, where the ratio veterans to vet rep is close to 100,000. I mean, they don't have that many vet reps, and LA has almost 300,000 veterans and very few vet reps. We need more in these big counties to generate revenue coming from the federal government to help these kids coming out of the service now. We also need these Korean War veterans and Vietnam veterans like I am. They're getting to the age like I am, 71, where you need help. And without trained help, you're not going to get that benefit. So we'd really appreciate this bill, and thank you for proposing it.
Thank you, Ted. And you've helped a lot of others for a lot of years in the adjacent counties. I know that. And you have an inordinate number because of Travis Air Force Base. Many have retired to that area. They like it. Do we have any other people here in support? Please, come forward.
Hi. Benjamin Palmer on behalf of Contra Costa County in support.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer.
Lorna Grease, representing Military Officers Association, California Council of Chapters. We support this bill.
Thank you.
Anna Alvarado on behalf of Sacramento County in strong support.
Again, Don Harper with the Department of California, American Legion. We strongly support this bill. Thank you.
Lorraine Ploss, American Veterans, State Legislative Chair. We support this, and on a personal note, if it weren't for Mr. Puntillo, after 36 years, I wouldn't have a claim. The VA didn't help me. He did. So I appreciate the CVSOs.
He's a good advocate.
Good work.
Dean Gotham, first Vice President of California State Council, Vietnam Veterans of America. We strongly support this bill, and on a personal note, 20 years ago, almost to the day, my county veteran service officer had to pound it into my brain that this Marine had PTSD. County veteran service officers provide a critical transition for veterans in this state. And we highly recommend this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Leroy Adams, BFW District 17 representative. We strongly support this bill, but the more highly trained the service officers are, the higher benefit is to the state and the cost savings.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon. Elizabeth Espinosa on behalf of the Riverside County Board of Supervisors in support. Thank you.
Ms. Espinosa, thank you for coming so far. Okay. Do we have any other witnesses in support?
Senator, I have two clients that aren't here, American GI Forum, Department of California, and Commanders, California State Commanders Veterans Council, also in support.
Okay, we've got them on the record. Any other in support? Do we have any opposition?
Move the bill.
Bill is moved by Senator Roth. And with that said, we will closing statements by our chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The work that CVSOs do is essential. This is clearly money well spent. I would ask respectfully for an aye vote today.
Okay. Secretary will please call the roll.
Senate Bill 1043 do pass, but first we refer to appropriations. Newman?
Aye.
Newman, aye. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Dodd? Weso? Wynn? Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. That's four, but we're going to hold open.
Four, we'll hold it on call. Okay. Senator Newman, next one be 1179.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My next bill is SB 1179. Mr. Chair and Senators, thank you for considering Senate Bill 1179, which would plug an important data hole undermining the administration of California's existing Disabled Veteran Business Enterprise Program. Existing law already mandates that awarding departments upon completion of every DVBE contract require that the prime contractor certify certain key information to the department, such as the total amount the prime contractor received under the contract, the names of DVBE subcontractors participating in the performance of the contract, how much each DVBE subcontractor received from the prime contractor, and that all payments payments owed to a DBBE under the contract have been properly made. These subcontractor records are important for measuring program goal attainment and also for identifying potential program waste and fraud, which is why existing law also requires the awarding department to keep these certifications on file. Existing law further imposes appropriate financial penalties and civil liability on anyone who knowingly provides false information in making these certifications. In February 2014, on the basis of an audit of the DVBE program, the state auditor reported that many contract awarding departments, including Caltrans and the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, are doing an inadequate job acquiring and maintaining certifications of DVBE subcontractor payments. While state law provides for a penalty for a prime contractor who knowingly provides false information to an awarding department regarding its payments to subcontractors, there is currently no penalty for simply failing to provide the information in the first place. This lack of an enforcement tool contributes to the DVBE data hole noted in the state auditor's report. In order to ensure proper tracking and enforcement of DVBE contracts, SB 1179 creates the following enforcement tools. First, when a prime contractor fails to report subcontractor payments, the awarding department would be required to notify the contracting firm and give it a reasonable time to report this data. Second, in the event that a contractor fails to respond to prompting within a reasonable time, the first-time penalty would be a 5-year suspension from participating in DVBE-related contracts. And lastly, a subsequent violation would result in permanent suspension from the DVBE program. It is reasonable to assume that all prime contractors already maintain records of their payments to subcontractors simply for general business management and tax purposes. To the extent that they already have this data and considering the benefits of the program, the existing reporting requirement is far from onerous. It also seems reasonable that an initial failure to report payments might be due to simple forgetfulness or other benign error. But a failure to report after being reminded and given reasonable time may indicate a willful intent to avoid disclosing data that might indicate the contractor is underpaying or not paying its DVBE subcontractors in contravention to existing law. DVBE contractors have informed me and my staff that they are being underused and underpaid, and in some cases that they are even being listed on DVBE bids by prime contractors without even being informed that they've been used. In order to properly analyze the DVBE program and its outcomes, we need to plug the current data hole. Through its deployment of the enforcement tools it creates, SB 1179 will go far to do exactly that. I respectfully ask for your aye vote today.
Thank you. Do we have witnesses in support? Okay, seeing none. Any witnesses in opposition? Seeing none. Any questions or comments from the committee members? Bill is moved by Senator Roth. I will only observe that, Senator, I consider this a significant and needed reform, I say, or improvement, and I would urge an aye vote. Call the roll of the committee, please.
Senate Bill 1179, do pass, but first refer to appropriations. Newman.
Aye.
Newman, aye. Nielsen.
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Dodd. Weso. Wynn. Roth. Roth, aye. Wilk.
Aye.
Wilk, aye. That's four.
Four zero. Votes. We will hold that on call. We have now then 1180.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, thank you for considering Senate Bill 1180, which also pertains to the Disabled Veteran Business Enterprise Program, also referred to as DVBE. As with SB 1179, which you just heard, existing law already mandates that awarding departments, upon completion of every DVBE contract, require the prime contractor to certify specific information. These subcontractor payment records are important for measuring program goal attainment and also for identifying potential program waste and fraud, which is why existing law also requires the awarding department to keep these certifications on file. As I previously noted, in February 2014, following an audit of the DVBE program, the state auditor reported that many contract awarding departments are doing an inadequate job acquiring and maintaining certifications of DVBE subcontractor payments. SB 1180 clarifies that awarding departments must maintain certification data provided by the prime contractor for a minimum of 6 years after collection in order to ensure the ongoing accuracy and completeness of the award amounts and paid amounts. Again, we must plug the data hole that currently exists in order to properly analyze the DVBE program and its outcomes. SB 1180 will help to do just that. I respectfully ask for your aye vote today.
Thank you. Senator Dodd has joined the committee. And do we have any witnesses in support? Do we have any witnesses opposed?
Move the bill.
Bill is moved by Senator Roth. Any questions or comments by committee members? The bill has moved with a due pass recommendation. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate Bill 1180, due pass, but first we refer to appropriations. Newman.
Aye.
Newman, aye. Nielsen.
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Dodd.
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Waso. Wynn. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk.
Yes.
Wilk, aye. That's 5-0. Can I hold that open?
Put it on call. Okay, Senator, two more, I think.
Just one more, by the way, Mr. Chair.
1304. 1304. The other one's on consent.
I'll try to make it seem like one.
The other one's on consent. Go.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Chair and Senators, SB 1304 is a necessary measure that would grant the California Department of Veterans Affairs the necessary authority to reach more veterans, meet specialized local needs, and serve as a vehicle to foster and reward innovative approaches for providing supportive services to veterans through the establishment of a CalTAP endowment fund. Throughout our state, there continues to be a deep and enduring wellspring of goodwill toward California's veterans and a desire to support veterans as they make the transition between the completion of their service and their return and reintegration into our communities and the workforce. However, despite the fact that corporate, philanthropic, and community support for veterans is greater than ever, the existing and emerging needs of veterans and their families continues to persist. Although California has a strong base of veteran community providers that have a long track record of providing competent and compassionate service, at the macro level, there remains an overall lack of coordination, vision, and basis for prioritization, leading to a splintering of efforts, the duplication of services, and preventing the effective leveraging of the myriad of funding streams in place. Additionally, the current scattershot approach to serving California's veterans lacks a centralized means for data collection, resulting in limited and often unreliable metrics to measure one's success. The California Transition Assistance Program, often referred to as CalTAP, was initially authorized by the legislature in 2014 and provides for the creation of a statewide structure for better and more coordinated delivery of information and direct services to veterans of all eras throughout their life cycles. When fully operational, the CalTAP program will incorporate federal, state, county, and community-based organizations into a cohesive force to better and more effectively serve veterans in California through a competitive grant program established last year. Since 1947, existing law has provided CalVet with the general authority to request and receive donations. In addition to this general authority, the legislature has repeatedly established specific authority for CalVet to receive, manage, and expend donations of money and property to support particular CalVet-managed programs, including the State Veterans Cemeteries Endowment Funds and the State Veterans Homes Morale, Welfare, and Recreation Funds. In keeping with earlier authorizations, SB 1304 grants CalVet specific authority to receive and appropriate donations, in this case to support the newly revised and expanded CalTAP program. SB 1304 authorizes the department to receive donations from third-party entities in support of a statewide approach to serving veterans and their families more fully. For these entities, it is often important to them that their donations are assigned for a specific purpose and kept separate for funds for general use. SB 1304 will allow the department the opportunity to maximize the financial contributions given in support of California's veterans while ensuring efforts are coordinated, effective, efficient, and measurable. Thank you. I respectfully ask for your aye vote today, and with me to testify is Mr. Keith Boylan, Deputy Secretary of the Veterans Services Division of CalVet.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Senator Nielsen, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to be here today, and I want to thank Senator Newman for his leadership on this department-sponsored bill, SB 1304. The Senator summed it up pretty well. I would only add that and reiterate that this endowment fund is a next step in a process that began some years ago, which was with the Governor's Interagency Council on Veterans, which we effectively landscaped, laid out the landscape of the service networks throughout the state. And that led into the development of the CalTAP program, which is a regionally specific expansion on the traditional TAP GPS program through the Department of Defense. This program has allowed us to bring in all those same community partners, state and federal, that we had enlisted in this process during the governor's interagency council efforts. And moving forward, we found that once we laid down the groundwork for infrastructure throughout the state that had most folks, if not all, on the same page, there were sort of some additional challenges, and that would be with a statewide strategic approach, and as CalVet being the lead advocate for veterans in the state, as our mission states, it's important that we help corral some of these funds, inordinate amount of funds that have been coming into California. Unfortunately, some of those have been put into to different areas where they're not necessarily cohesive with some of the other efforts that are taking place. And as the Senator said, that leads to duplication of efforts and more so an inability to really gauge the effectiveness of some of those services. So in support of those community partners throughout the state, it's vital that we're able to corral some of this. On the other side of it, those folks giving to the state, the foundations and philanthropic entities, have expressed, due to some really visible nationwide challenges, that some of the larger nonprofits and organizations that are serving veterans have come across, some of the folks are getting a little gun-shy on terms on where they put their money, and they want to make sure they get the most bang for their buck. And they've come to us, and they're really excited about the opportunity for to work with a state entity in support of all those community partners, versus going about it one at a time throughout the state, especially in a state so large as California. It's hard to orchestrate a large service network in that capacity. So once again, thank you to Senator Newman for your leadership on this, and thank you for all your support.
Bill moved by Senator Roth. It was hard enough when there was only one veterans home, I remember, for these particular kinds of issues at the home then and homes now, plural. Do we have anyone in opposition today? Further opposition or support?
Seth Reeb, Reeb Government Relations, representing California State Commanders Veterans Council in support of this legislation.
Again, Don Harper with American Legion. We have 100,000 members in California. We all want to support this bill. We hope you do as well. Thank you.
Lorna Grease, representing Military Officers Association, California Council of 41 Chapters. We support this bill.
Lorraine Plass, American Veterans. We support this bill.
Dean Gotham, Vietnam Veterans of America. We also support this bill. Anything to help Department of Veterans Affairs.
Thank you.
Ted Punchillo from the California Association of County Veterans Service Officers. We support this bill, and we think the idea of a unified approach and getting everybody going in the same direction is a great idea.
Thank you. Do we have a motion from any member of the committee? Senator Roth has moved the bill.
I do want to close. I am actually quite proud. My first participation in this House was actually as a private citizen on behalf of the original authorizing legislation for CalTAP. And I want to salute the work done by Mr. Boylan, by Mr. Spangler, by the Secretary, and everybody in CalTAP trying to find a better, more consistent, more cohesive approach to transition California. We can and should do more for California veterans coming back to our state, and this is a step in the right direction. So I respectfully ask for an aye vote today.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, it is the pleasure of the committee. The motion is due pass. Call the roll.
Senate Bill 1304, due pass, but first we refer to appropriations. Newman?
Aye.
Newman, aye. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Weso?
Aye.
Weso, aye. Wynn?
Aye.
Wynn, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. That's 7-0.
Hold that on call momentarily.
That's everybody's vote on that one.
That's everybody.
Oh, yes. Yes, that one be out. Due pass. I heard you, but I did not see you, Senator Wynn.
Sorry.
Senator Wynn, you have for us today 1314.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, and members. Today, I'm presenting SB 1314, which requires the California Department of Veterans Affairs to develop a plan to accommodate veterans suffering from complex mental and behavioral health needs at California veterans' homes, while also ensuring the safety and security of residents, staff, and visitors. In January of 2017, the LAO released a report that found that the state veterans' home had limited capacity to assist veterans with complex mental and behavioral needs. Veterans who suffer from such needs often require more services because of staffing and specialized care requirements and limited resources available. Some veterans' home have had to deny admission or discharge these veterans early. Consequently, veterans most in need of mental and behavioral health service stemming from their sacrifices and service to the state and country are unable to receive the care they need. Currently, California's 8 state veterans homes serve at a capacity nearly 3,000 eligible residents veterans with long-term care. SB 1314 takes the LAO's recommendation to require CalVet to determine ways to help veterans with complex mental and behavioral needs. Furthermore, the recent tragic fatal shooting at Yountville Veterans Home show us that even our quiet veterans home could be target for violence, sometimes by the very individuals these homes are charged with caring for. SB 1314 considers the growing need for more accessible care for our veterans suffering from complex mental and behavioral health needs, while also requiring a comprehensive assessment of the safety and security of residents who reside within our veterans' home, their guests, and those who care for them. Thank you for giving me this opportunity, and I ask for your aye vote. I have here with me a set representing a coalition of California's veterans groups.
Good afternoon. Seth Reeb with Reeb Government Relations. There's a few facts that I'd like to point out. Research done in a 2008 RAND Corporation survey has shown that veterans are more likely to suffer from a mental or behavioral health condition than general population. PTSD is about 14% among OIF veterans, and a lifetime prevalence for Vietnam veterans at about 31%. PTSD is among the national population. I'm sorry about that, Kurt. Veterans make up only approximately 7% of the U.S. population, and by count, they account for 18% of the suicide nationwide. With the improved personal protective equipment that protects service members, we see many service members and veterans surviving through traumatic events and returning with mental and physical disorders. This legislation aims to address this issue and is a step in the right direction. My clients, the American GI Forum of California and California State Commanders Veteran Council, are in support of this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you, are there any witnesses here in support of the bill?
Lorraine Ploss, AmVets, we're in support of this bill.
Lorna Grease, representing Military Officers Association, California Council of Chapters. As a nurse and a combat vet myself, I see a real need for a place to care for these people coming back from the war.
Don Harper again with the American Legion. This is a very important bill. The more money we can get for mental health for our veterans, the better it is for everybody. Please vote aye on this bill. Thank you.
Dean Gotham, Vietnam Veterans of America. We strongly support this bill as well. PTSD. Thank God for County Veteran Service Officers.
Thank you, Mr. Gotham.
Ted Pantillo, representing the California Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and somebody who files claims for Yountville residents. This is a total big need for this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody present here in opposition to the bill? Seeing none. Would anybody like to make a motion? Senator Roth has moved the bill. Would you like to close, Senator Wynn?
I just respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Please.
Knowing the remoteness of a very few of our veterans' homes, did I anticipate, say, Mr. Reeb, that we would be having a difficulty getting these kinds of professionals to work in our veterans' homes?
Senator, I don't believe I'm capable to answer that question right now. I'd have to get back to you on that.
That's okay. I don't mean to trap you on it. I really uttered that just to be aware, because in the rural areas, that is an endemic problem with health care, and we don't need to be aware of how we can maybe attract more providers to come into the rural areas and practice. That's all. Thank you. I'll be a part of that, working with everybody here.
And so, Senator Nielsen, your point is well taken. And so I got ahead of myself. So, Senator Wynn, if you want to
Mr. Vice Chairman, I think this bill in itself is just asking for a comprehensive study on what we need to do going forward with all of our veterans' home, not specifically calling out which specific providers, where they need to go, and what it's just telling us what we need. Let's start with that, and I think that's the necessary of it.
I'll take that as your close.
Thank you.
Very good. Madam Secretary, please read the roll.
Senate Bill 1314, do pass but first referred appropriations. Newman?
Aye.
Newman, aye. Excuse me. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Weso?
Aye.
Weso, aye. Wynn?
Aye.
Wynn, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. That's 7-0. Passes out.
7-0. That passes out unanimously. Let's open the roll on those bills that have not been finished. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate Bill 924, do you pass but first referred to appropriations? Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Weso?
Aye.
Weso, aye. Wynn?
Aye.
Wynn, aye. That's 7-0.
7-0 passes out.
Senate Bill 1043, do you pass but first referred appropriations? Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Weso?
Aye.
Weso, aye. Wynn?
Aye.
Wynn, aye. That's 7-0 passes out.
That bill passes out as well.
Senate Bill 1179, do you pass but first referred appropriations? Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Weso?
Aye.
Weso, aye. Wynn?
Aye.
Wynn, aye. That's 7-0. It passes out.
Very good.
Senate Bill 1180, do you pass but first referred appropriations? Weso?
Aye.
Weso, aye. Wynn?
Aye.
Wynn, aye. One more consent calendar. That one passes out.
Did Senator Weso vote on the consent calendar?
He's not.
Senator
There's
Weso,
one more thing.
You still weak consent calendar.
Consent calendar.
Yeah.
Senate Bill 1435, do pass first referred appropriations with recommendation consent. And Senate Bill 1501, do pass with recommendation consent. Dodd.
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Weso.
Aye.
Weso, aye. Wynn.
Aye.
Wynn, aye. 7-0. Pass out.
Very good. Well, that completes today's hearing. Thank you, everybody, for your attendance and your contributions. Thank you.